God's sovereignty in salvation. So we now explain under three headings. We see it. Okay, who remembers? Ah, okay. Rita does. Explain. If Rita gets this, all of you workers, if you want to write this exam, I pity you.
Pastor, I can't use the word you use, but I can.
No problem. Explain.
It's God that designs.
Exactly. It's his design.
The one that decides how to get it.
Okay.
And he's the one that preserves.
Yeah, in his design, implementation, and preservation of salvation. Okay. When I gave this long gap before this last part, I know that we'll come here and start refreshing your head. So we see God's sovereignty in his design of salvation, the fact that that is how he designed that salvation should be received. We also saw God's sovereignty in his implementation, the fact that he alone carried it out, and in the preservation, the fact that the consequence of receiving salvation is eternal, it cannot be changed. And we saw that God tied, why is salvation the way to decide, show God's character? Because God has tied his name, his integrity, and everything to salvation. So it is in salvation that we know God. Amen? Can you remember all that now? All right, then let's go to what's the fourth one we discussed? Limited atonement. Limited atonement. Limited atonement. I was here when series 2 was taught. Let me see your hands, because that's series 2. Series 2. I was here. Don't pretend you're writing. Calm down. Answer me. I was here when series 2 was taught. Raise up your hand. Let me see. Charity, you're not here for anyone. You're not raising up your hand now, so I will know when to ask you. Faith, you were here. You were happy. You never. I go catch you. You're the height for them. Limited atonement. Who wants to explain it for me? Limited atonement. Limited atonement. Limited atonement. Okay, well, the plan for perseverance. I said you must have talk. Yes, yes, yes.
It's talking about the sacrifice of Christ. That it is designed for a selected few people. That's the atonement. That sacrifice. That it just covers for a selected few set of people, not everyone. So that the atonement, that atonement of Christ, doesn't cover for everybody. That the sacrifice of Christ is not for everybody. It's designed for
the limited atonement is in two folds. Is in two. Now you want, let me talk. See, I said 5 minutes, but I almost gone over 10 minutes. Limited atonement is in two folds. Try to remember. I remember I used this thing to even explain for people that day. Yeah, so.
It doesn't cover a hole.
Okay, she wants to hear when you're passing the microphone to a girl that is waving hand in that corner.
Okay, praise God.
Hallelujah.
You explained how that the atonement is, let me explain in my word. Like, it's general, but then in that general, there's still a specificity in that general. So that limited atonement is for that specific set of persons, even though it's available to all. But because not all were selected, at the end of the day, it's as though it's not still available to all. It's available to those that were selected of God.
Okay. All right. Let's just save time. You are correct. You said that in limited atonement, what they believe is that Christ died for every man in a general sense. However, he died for those specific chosen people in a more particular sense. That means those ones who are chosen now have the full benefit of the atonement. So it's not everybody. Even though you say Christ died for the whole world, yes, but it's just general. But if you want to get the full benefit of that death of Christ, you must be an elect. Must be an elect of God to be able to participate in that. So we explain all of that and show that Christ is the atonement, first of all. And we saw through the scriptures that what he did is available fully for every man. So if you don't get all, then it is not Christ's atonement. The only thing is, you either get all or nothing. You understand? It's either all or nothing, no half measures. And the only way you can get all is by your choice, which is believing. Simple. That was limited atonement. Then the final one we dealt with was P, which is perseverance of the saints. Use my microphone. Okay, pass it to Para. Para, what's perseverance of the saints? Perseverance of the saints. Hurry. I want to close by 8. Perseverance of the saints.
It means that those selected, regardless of what they do, will be saved, like the sure banker, like whatever happens, whatever, those that God has determined that he's going to save, they will be saved eventually.
Okay. And we also looked at the fact that there's a perseverance really of the saints, which is their perseverance in ministry. That once you are heralding this truth, because the devil hates the truth and fights the truth. So anyone who heralds the truth, it means you have a tag on your head saying, Satan, yeah, yeah. Satan, be against me. Do you understand? So everyone who is fighting for the truth, you're shaking your head. Once you are a minister of the truth, you are automatically saying, Satan, I'm at war with you. And it means the devil will really be at war with you. So you are to persevere in that. But there's strength and grace for all of that. So when we're done, we're looking at TULIP. We started clarifying some scriptures that looked as though, scriptures that looked like they were in support of selection. I don't know if you can remember the scriptures we looked at, but I think we've looked at about 6, 7. We're supposed to just clarify 11. Don't forget, in looking at the old, from TULIP, we already exhausted almost all the scriptures, but these were just specifics we wanted to clear. Let me see if somebody can remember. Which one should I, okay, let me, look, which one should I choose here? Okay, 2 Timothy. Let me do 2. 2 Timothy. Let me see how you remember. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 24 and 25. 24 and 25. And a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So in this place, it's looking like before the man will repent, it's God that will give him repentance, peradventure. So how was that explained? Who is in my microphone? Who is in my microphone? Ah, Bumi. Give it over somewhere. How was that scripture explained? Or explain that scripture to me. How is, what is God's role there? If God peradventure will give them repentance.
Necessarily, it does not necessarily mean that there is kind of an option. Like God will kind of put it to man that peradventure.
Just calm down. Can you remember the explanation? If you poke it, do you have another explanation for it? But we are not getting it yet. You are just paraphrasing. So that means you don't have an explanation for it. Okay, who can explain that for me? Second, give Ojut. Ojut. Ajit. That's how my baby calls me. Ajit.
Praise God.
Yeah.
If God peradventure is in line with the preaching of the gospel, like it's not state like that. Where is it, man? 2 Timothy chapter If God peradventure, I'm coming now. Verse what, man? 24, 25. Okay, meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Well, those that oppose themselves, they do so because a message was passed across to them, which is the message of the gospel in 2 Corinthians 4. The God of this world blinded their heart, is in them rejecting the message of the gospel. And the meekness is in continuous preaching of the gospel to them so that they will accept the gospel. Because in repentance, the choice of man is important in accepting the truth and let it work on his mind.
Go to the answer. You're supposed to explain by context. Anyway, don't worry, sit down. The context there, when we say flee youthful lust in verse 22, we saw that youthful lust in that context was talking about an argumentative stance. That don't be argumentative. So don't be hyper or... I don't have another word to use. But it says... 23 now says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle all men, to unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. So we see that the admonition to Timothy there was talking about his attitude in his teaching. Right? So the instruction to Timothy was, hey, in your teaching, you must not strive, you must be gentle, you must be patient, you must teach with meekness. Because you don't want to give a man a chance not to do what? Listen to you. Can you remember now? What you can control is getting the man to listen. You cannot control his believing. So once you see peradventure, peradventure throws in choice. And choice is in whose power? Man. So he said, if they will listen, by listening, probably they will repent. They will agree. But you must not frustrate that attempt to get them to listen in your communication. Don't frustrate it. Your job is to do all to ensure he listens. Listen, listen. So that's what you have control over, getting him to listen. However, if he listens and changes his mind, we always give the glory to God. Don't forget, when it is good, we give the glory to God, right? When it is bad, we what? We call it what it is. Call it what it is. Call it what it is. So, you don't, once man's action aligns with God's will, we say glory to God. If his action does not align with God's will, we cannot put God in the equation. We can only give God the glory when it is an action in line with his will. Do you understand that? For those of you that, at least that were not here, can you understand a little bit of what we are doing? Okay. So that is that explanation. How did I think I explained this, yes, with Ronaldo and the penalty that he wants to score, right? Talking about, I think it was under irresistible grace when I explained it with... if you have a good footballer like Ronaldo, an excellent one, that the chances of him scoring his penalty are 100%. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
I'm the one with the microphone. Is the chances of him scoring that penalty with an empty net is 100%. So if you now put, but between him and the net is a goalkeeper standing there. And that goalkeeper represents what? The choice of man. So, if Ronaldo scores the goal, who are we going to praise? Ronaldo. If the keeper catches the ball, then the attention shifts to who? The attention shifts to who? The keeper. Abi is the one that frustrated the man not to score his goal. So God has shot his God has shot his shot in court to man. All right. If he doesn't get to his final destination, who prevented it? Man. But if it enters and the man allows it and it aligns to with his will, then you say glory to God. Is that clear? All right. Let's see another. If you my God, recap has taken 30 minutes. John 17. John chapter 17. Let's see another one of that. Then we'll move on. John 17. Verse 24. So, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now, when Jesus is saying, thou lovest me before the foundation of the world, what does that mean? He's referring to himself as what? The intention of God. Because there was no Jesus as a boy in heaven that God was loving. Just a boy of God seated by his side and said, I love you, my small boy. Well done, boy. Then when you are now grown, okay, go and save mankind. No. When he says, thou hast loved me from the foundation of the world or before the foundation of the world, talks about the fact that I, as the intention of God, has been God's plan before the foundation of the world. God has loved that plan. And we saw that anybody who is in that intention can say that God has chosen me when? Before the foundation of the world. So if you see somebody like Jeremiah that says, from your mother's womb, I have chosen you. Is he the only one? No. Any saved man, and because what has God chosen? The choice of God is that intention of God. That is will. So any man who finds himself in that choice of God has been chosen since when? Before the foundation of the world. That is what it means to be an elect. A chosen of God. You existing in the choice of God. Simple. Is that clear? Is it clear? Okay. All right. Let's now look at, just continue and look at other scriptures and see something else. John 17. The same John 17. Verse 6. Wrapping up my last part now, part 8, John 17, verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given, this is John 17, verse 8 now. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Now, these words, giving me, this religion says, use it to explain or to portray the fact, their point that there are certain persons that God has given. To see Christ now, you say, the ones you have given me, like, there are persons that God has planned and said, these ones are your own. These ones, when you come to earth, these ones, these, they will accept, these, they will not. But how were they given to him? You see it in verse 8. I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they did what? Okay, when you finish writing, let's read verse 8 together. You see how they were given. Are you done writing? My Judith is still writing. Judith, speed up. Verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have what? Received them. So you see, everyone that received the words of Christ, Was he everyone on earth? No. Receiving is whose choice? The man's choice. So those who received them, he said, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou did send me. So this is how they were given. They received the words. They believed what was said of concerning Christ. They believed the scriptures. This is what you would call a willing heart. By their sincerity, their willingness, that is how they were given. How they occupied that special place that Christ was talking about. You could see their reception. Even when they did not fully understand, if you see through the Gospels, they were still there. In John 6, when Jesus said, eat flesh, drink blood, you think they understood and did not go? They were just simple-hearted. Simple-hearted. And they stayed. So that staying, that their action of staying, of receiving the word simply, of believing, is what was credited to God, that thou givest them me. But at least if you see there, they have received, you see their action there, written clearly. They received, they believed. Is that understood? Please, if you didn't get me, just raise up your hand, I'll come back again. I'll explain it again. Charity, did you get it? You understood? Fine. Okay, so let's see another scripture to clarify. John 10. John 10. Another scripture they use to explain that they are special persons chosen for salvation. John 10. 26. John 10, 26. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, according to this place, it looked as though that those people are not hearing because they don't belong to his sheep. They say, my sheep, they are the ones that will hear and they will follow. You cannot hear because you are not of my sheep. But what was the context of this conversation? What was the context of this conversation? Jesus, at every point in time, what he rebuked men for were their unwillingness to pay attention. So not hearing there would mean not paying attention. Think we did that under heed your hearing. That hearing transcends the physical hearing. Some persons can even be in church. Pastor is preaching. Their faculty can hear. But they are not reasoning through what he's saying. So he's just entering, that's what they say, enter from here and comes out from here. Just pum, 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 pum. How will I know you have heard? When as you are hearing with your ear, your mind is what? Processing. So that is what he kept fighting them over, that you are not paying attention. You are not paying attention. That is why they will not believe. We have done all this in previous teachings. So you are to focus, give your mind to it. That is now what will determine the virtue you will get. Can you remember Mark 4? Let's just read it for those who cannot remember. Mark 4, who has amplified? Please help me. Read it. Mark 4, 24. Whoever has an amplified version. So it is how you read, how you hear, that matters. Told you before, you can read this Bible and still have destruction. if you don't listen as you should. Is anybody with Amplify? Anybody? Amplify? Please give him the microphone to someone that has Amplified. Mark 4:24. So you can read that for me. Where's the microphone? Has it disappeared? Give him. Mark 4:24. Please listen.
And he said to them, Be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you.
Please read it again slowly. Thank you.
And he said to them, Be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear.
Okay. Do you understand? The amount of what? Thought and study you give to what you are hearing is what determines the benefit you get. So it's not just, I'm hearing. Hey, heed your hearing. Hear well. So that is the correct attitude in hearing. Not just the physical hearing. So Jesus is saying, those who believe me are the ones who pay attention. These are the ones who listened. Why can we be that sure? Because, let's see John 5:24. John 5:24. Because the same Jesus speaking. John 5:24. Are you there? John 5:24. We'll read this together and be sure you get it. Okay, John 5:24, are we there? All right, let's go. Unto life. So who are those who have everlasting life? Those who what? Hear, believe. So when you see in John 10 saying, I will give them everlasting life and they will not perish. Who are the same people? Those who what? Hear and believe. Not a special set, not a special predestined set. Anyone who will listen, give attention, receive the words, believe it, is the one who has eternal life. And as Pastor has taught us, sometimes utterance rearranges it to put God first, to credit God's action first. For example, you are healed. Even if before you were going through medical issue or an illness, and then for about a month you focused listening to healing sermons, praying on it, and speaking God's word consistently. But when you want to talk about how you were healed, who would you credit first? Do you understand? Would you say, Bedred, I had a serious illness. And I fasted. Oh. At the point, I thought God not even hear. Is that the way to give testimony? But first of all, say, glory to God. I thank the Lord. God has healed me of this. So, normally, we always give the glory to God for that positive thing. So, when you say, my sheep is hearing, it's as if he was saying, like, I was the one that made them hear the voice. But no. You see, all of what is consistent throughout the scriptures is that the man who hears, who listens, who believes, is the one who receives eternal life. So, that is how it is. God is always glorified before the actions of men. That is normal. Let's see another scripture to clarify. John 8. Please, like I said, if you don't understand anything I said, just raise up your hand so I can go over again. John 8, John chapter 8, verse 47. John 8, 47. You see a similar thing there. He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Do you have a Bible? This is one we are reading. You read it together. So did you see how it is rearranged there? Or how it is arranged there? He that is of God, what? Heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. So it now looks like it is only those who actually belong to God that we hear God's word. Oh, same thing with what we have been talking about. Jesus' problem with the general Jews was just to get them to listen. It is the battle he has been fighting all through in the conversation in John. If you read this John 8 from chapter 1, from verse 1, what was the problem? Jesus just wanted them to listen. But before he says one thing, I think we have read it before, so I don't have the time to read everything again. Before he says one thing, what have they done? They've said another. He's going in this direction. They go, ah! In fact, we have said you are a devil. We said you are possessed. How can you say this? How can you say that? That was just the simple thing that someone could have just received or believed. They will always look for a way to attack it. So the Jews' problem was their refusal to listen and pay attention. That was their problem. And Jesus is now telling them that the reason why he said, he that is of God, heareth God's word, is the man who hears, what is the consequence of his action? He becomes what? Of God. He becomes God's own. Do you understand? So it's the same thing. Is the one you put first. The one who doesn't hear, what is the consequence? Is not God's own. But the hearing is whose choice or whose action? The man's choice. In this place, in this John 8, Jesus was rebuking them and commended Abraham. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and he was glad. That means Abraham's action was commended. Their own was not. What was Abraham's action? Did he fully understand from Genesis 12? Did he? No. But what did we see him doing? Step by step, he kept following. Even when his mind is getting discouraged and he receives assurance again, what happens? He believes. He picks himself up. So that simplicity to be receiving, is what could make Abraham God's own. If you say Abraham was God's own, that was why he heard, then why did he doubt in Genesis 15? Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you sure? One person's expression looked like they didn't get me. If this place is saying that he that is of God heareth God's voice, and the person that doesn't hear is not of God, we can see from Abraham's journey that it was not from day one he fully believed. There were times he was doubting. In Genesis 15, he expressed doubt. In Genesis 17, he expressed doubt. Even up to Genesis 18, he was still expressing doubt. If it was truly said that, if this is, hey, once you are God's own, you don't have a choice but to believe, then Abraham, who was commended as God's own, would not have doubted at all. You get it now? He would have just believed from Genesis 12 and have kept believing. Boom, like that. So this is simply talking about man's simplicity and willingness. The one who will be of God is the one who hears, who listens, who is simple-hearted. We simple-hearted. It is not God's action, yet we give him the glory. Always give God the glory for a willing heart. Always. Always. A willing heart is man's action, but to God's glory. How scripture credits it. Okay, let's see John 18. John chapter 18. I think this one is a little bit more straightforward. John 18:37. John 18:37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou seest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now, we know that Jesus was addressing someone specific here, which is Pilate. Now, let's see verse 33. See that the conversation did not start there. Verse 33 now. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Do you understand the question? Now, Pilate is going to ask a question. He's asking Jesus a question that, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus is now asking him that, Is this your conclusion? Or you are simply re-echoing other people's thoughts? His answer will determine if he actually believes anything about what Jesus came to do, or he's just doing follow. You understand the difference? Faith, are you with me? Doesn't look so. All right. Now, in 35, let's keep reading. Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? That was when Jesus now denying them. John, verse 36. Those of you writing Judaism, I must see this in your exam. Verse 36, Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered. Bible. Looking at me and nodding your head. Am I your Bible? I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Then Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So Jesus already told him that he has a different reality. He has a different kingdom. A very different reality to what is obtainable on earth. And it was obvious that Jesus was simply saying that anyone who actually reads the scriptures, which is where the truth is documented, will know that this is true. That my kingdom is not of this world, that is not a function of Jews, Gentiles, that I am heralding something. Anyone who is simple enough to read or believes what has been said, we'll know that it is true. So it still boils down to the same simplicity. Everyone that is of the truth, heareth my voice. Anyone who understands these things will know that what I'm saying is the truth. And my kingdom is not of this world, that I am heralding something different that is not a function of this physical Jew thing or whatever. I am to bring a light to the world. That is the reality of Christ. So anyone who simply reads the scriptures or who has heard of the things he has done and taught, who believe this, will hear his voice. Will believe all that pertains to him. Is that simple enough? Is that clear enough? Rejoice. All right. So, let's look at the last scripture there under that subheading before moving. That will be Jude chapter 1. Jude 1, verse 3 and 4. Jude before Revelation. Jude 1, verse 3 and 4. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, please pay attention. You know, this is looking like these persons who are acting this way, they've been ordained to act like that. So that's how it looks like. Like, they're acting this way because they don't stamp them according to their file. You know how we used to think then that as you are coming, all the unborn children are aware in heaven with God, right? As you are unborn, God is surrounded with plenty of unborn children. Then when is your time to come to this world, he opens your file for you. Say, this is your file. This is what you're going to do on earth. This is your destiny. So some people say, your destiny is to be an armed robber. You will not be saved. You will torment other men. You will kill those people. This is what your destiny is to cause genocide. Your destiny is... All of you be careful. Your destiny is... You will be an apostle of the generation. You will get men saved. Why you'll be killing the men. So, that is how people perceive that God has that destiny written. So, it's not looking like these ones are acting anyhow, because they've been ordained of old to act like that. But actually, like I told you the other time, this was what we are given in our minister's exams. I should just give one of you the microphone to just continue from where I stopped to explain. So if you see that word there in verse 4, ordained, who were before, the before there, that I'm talking about verse 4, and you ordained, the same words, which is prographo. Now, from your knowledge here, grapho is what? Grapho is what? To write. Then pro will now mean what? Before. So, and once you hear written, like I told you, what should your mind go to? The scriptures. The scriptures. So, what this is saying is that no one's rebellion is new. Like I told you, there's no action of man that will shock God. Say, as what is happening now, God, you'll be shocked. You are the ones shocked. You are all of you that are the ones opening your mouth. God cannot be shocked. He did this? How? I thought I've seen the end of wickedness. There is no man's rebellion that is what? New. Same way no man's faith is also what? New. So from the beginning, God's intention has been written, as well as the consequence of following that intention is there from Genesis. You will see it. And also, not following that intention and the consequence has also what? Been written. God's intention, man's disposition to it, the consequence of believing that intention has been written. You can see the examples in the scripture. So also, the adverse reality. A man who doesn't believe it is also written, the consequence. So what he's saying is that a man, by choice, chooses which part of prophecy to fall into. If you choose faith, it has been written that this is, people will choose faith and this will be what will happen to them. If you reject, it is also there that persons will reject, and this is the consequence. So, whether for or against, clearly written, your own is to choose. Your own is to choose. So, men either fulfill the positive or negative part of prophecy by their choice. By their choice. So, Jude is saying all these people's action is not new. We have seen examples of them already written. And if you want to understand it by context, you will see verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he had reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So, the examples that he brought out, where did he get it from? Where did he get it from? Scriptures. So, he's saying, as it has been written before of old, see them, they are following examples of persons who have chosen a path of rebellion. And we know that their end is destruction. That is why he was bold enough to tell them that this is also their part. This is how they will end. Because it is written. Is that clear? Thank you very much. Okay, so now we are going to just clarify some scriptures and then close the app. This religion believes that God does as he pleases. He does as he likes. Of course, we've already handled that under sovereignty. We'll just see some again. Just see some scriptures that he quotes to say this. Psalms 115. Psalms 115. Psalm 115, verse 3. 115, verse 3. But our God is in heavens. He had done whatsoever he had pleased. Did you see that? Okay, Bibles are still turned. Psalm 115, verse 3. But our God is in the heavens. He had done whatsoever he had pleased. So they just quote the scripture and say, God does as he pleases and no man can question him. But let's just read from chapter 1, from verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He had done whatsoever he had pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throats. So he's talking about their idols, the idols that the heathens have. Verse 8, they that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusted in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord, is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord, is their help and their shield. You that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless the house of Israel, he will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Now, if you understand what we have been saying from the earlier parts, this is simply an example showing unbelief and faith. Of course, Israel was used to typify those who had faith in God. in this context. Though most times, but normally Israel was used to typify salvation, redemption in the scriptures that we have analyzed, and that should be series one. So he's talking about the fact that those in unbelief, this is their lot. Those who fear God, that's those who believe, this is their own lot. So God doing as he pleases is not a function of God is just there throwing dice and playing kalo kalo on anybody that he likes. He has told you where or how, where, who his blessings are upon. Those who trust him, those who fear him. That means talking about faith. So that is clear. So anyone who trusts in the Lord receives his mercy, receives his favor. It's not a function of God will just choose who he will bless or he will not bless. No. It's shown there. Those who fear him, those who trust him, those who are his. So a nation that has sense should simply choose to be his. Simple. That is by receiving and believing in him. Nothing else. Now, see Job, that's a similar thing is in Psalm 135 verse 6, but it's the same context, so I won't read there. But let's see two statements. Job chapter 42. We'll see two statements and then clarify that. Then we'll close. Job 42. Verse 1 and 2. Job 42, verse 1 and 2. To did. Suddenly she cannot find you. Okay, let's continue. Rest of us, let's continue. Job 42, she will find it. Verse 1, okay, I found it. Job 42, verse 1 and 2. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou can do everything and that no thought can be withheld from thee. Is this true? Can God do everything? Judith, is it true? Can God do everything? But you're nodding your head. I know I saw a song, its song title, The Thing That God Cannot Do Does Not Exist. Okay. The thing that God cannot do does not exist. Is that true? Let's see Daniel. Daniel. Chapter 4. Verse 35. Daniel 4, 35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? You know how people think that God is like your earthly rulers, that he has an army in heaven and just does as he likes with the army in heaven. So, who are the armies? Who are those who are the armies here? Who are referred to as the armies? Angels. And the ones that are called the army of God. So, you see, Angel Fatah. Go and shoot. Okay, the angels cannot shoot. They have better things to use. They have some. Okay, please. But according to Hebrews 1:14, are angels referred to as God's army for his personal pleasure? No, he said they are all ministering spirit, ministering for man, not even for God. They don't minister for God. They rather they minister to man. So understanding Genesis clears that. I'm not going to go into all of that. Now, but let's just explain this and we'll close here. These are statements of men that, in quote, presumably they are trying to give God praise. Ah, you are too much. You are too great. You are all powerful. God can kill. God does not kill. He has self-control. He just chooses not to. He says, I can kill you if I want to. But I will not. Yes, sir. Yes, obviously, yes. That's why you have a question for me. But let me see if I will be able to answer it in the context. Mm-hmm.
At times, I think we think that God has a Bible.
Okay.
That's my own
opinion. Okay.
So, I want you to confess that because sometimes you read a portion of the Bible and thank you for your gift in that part. And when you try to balance,
yes, sir. I understand you perfectly. Now, what I would just, if you can listen, what's it, yes, there's no way I can answer you now. Because this is, Can the Bible Be Wrong? Series 1, which is how many parts? 9 parts. Okay, I should send it to you after service. All right. But what, we have teachings on, but I can make that statement clearly because of where we have been coming from. Like I said, we have Can the Bible Be Wrong? Part 1, which is Series 1, which is 9 parts. No. He has raised up your hand, Jude. He said he wants to explain to you after church. So it's a long teaching, as in, but if you really want to study on it, so I'm referring a series to you, Can the Bible Be Wrong? Series 1, Series 2, and Series 3. So 9 plus 12 plus 17 is what? Do the math for me. No, once you have a question in the Bible, you have to be ready to study. Do you understand? 38. Okay, I don't know Namas. 38. You have to be willing to study because sharp answers never establishes anyone. So I cannot give you a sharp answer here. This will, you will have to, because even in that series, Pastor said that the conclusion of the Bible is gotten from where? The entire Bible. You can only get the conclusion of this Bible from reading everything, Genesis to Malachi. So for me to answer that question, I have to explain from Genesis to Malachi and explain the difference between spiritual death and physical death. And then I will not tell you that God only has authority over spiritual death. God does not have authority over physical. In fact, you will have to even add understanding Genesis to it. So I can't really answer that question. But what I can promise you is that if you are here with us, eventually you will get it. But since you are visiting, the MOG of our generation can help you as briefly as it can. But Jude is anointed of God for that purpose. Hallelujah. Okay, so, however, there is just one thing that makes all these statements a lie. Say God can do as he pleases. What is that one thing that makes the statement a lie? Choice of man. If man does not have a choice, then we can say, yes, God can do as he likes. But because man has choice, and I've repeatedly told you that choice is power, it means that that cannot be correct. It's not even possible. God will not always have his way. That looks like a bad thing to say, right? But it's the truth. Which series was that? Is it Why Do Bad Things Happen to Christians? I've forgotten the series that I had to explain with choice, about how choice removes the power from you. And I explained with person staying in my house. If I say that I have all of you staying in my house right now, amen?
Amen.
Okay, let me just say, all of you on this aisle, let me not be ambitious. Everybody in this side, they are all staying in my house, okay? Now, because you are staying in my house, I tell you that you are free to eat whatsoever you like in my house, which of course can never happen. But I'm just saying, wait, now let's focus on the teaching I'm trying to explain. It's an example I'm giving. Okay, it can happen one day. Yes. Amen. Okay. Hey, let's all focus on the church people. What is household? That's how you show yourself that you are members of the household. So if I say you are free to eat whatsoever you like in my house, by giving you that instruction, what have I given you? Choice. So if I come out by, like, what happens in my house sometimes? 2 a.m., I'm hearing croom, croom, croom in the kitchen. 3 a.m., 1:30 a.m., everybody's just going and opening what they like. Do I have the power to stop them? Is it my house? Am I supposed to have the right? But do I have the power anymore? What took away the power from me? The choice I gave them. So God making man a being of choice has removed power from him automatically. You can't help it. If I wanted all the power to myself, then I would say, hey, you are in my house by my goodwill, by my choice, by my, what again? And so, you can only eat this, this, this. Then I lock my kitchen, hold the key, and say, when you want to eat, let me know. That you don't have a choice. So, giving you choice always has taken away power from the person who gives it. That is why God can. You cannot say it. That God can have. That is why person's praying for peace now. And I'm seeing so many things up and down. Like, let peace roll down like raindrops and fountain and water. As if God has a bottle of peace in heaven that is going to open and then pour. Say, peace, flow. Peace. Peace to you. If it was an ocean that is turbulent, fine. But you are now talking about who? Men. How? And you will realize that many persons will now use this opportunity to become atheists and say God does not exist. When they don't fully understand what is at work. God can never always have his way. If we want God to have his way, how does God have his way? Through men and not just every man on earth. Through the man that is saved, and funny enough, not just through the saved man. Is it truth? It's not through every saved man. Through the man whose heart is God's and whose minds have been submitted to God. That is only the man that God can have his way through. See, the influence of God is the man whose heart God resides there and he has devoted his mind to the learning of God. That is the one that will say, okay, what is God's will? Not through the actions of all men. But that is what God has control over. That God does as he pleases. He can only do that through saved men whose minds are submitted to him. Those are the ones that God can do something through. You see, God's options are limited. Very limited. Very limited. Very limited. So it's unfair to just give God a title or power that he doesn't have. It is unfair. That's a result of untaught Christianity. Or persons not just willing to learn. And they don't know they are causing more havoc by those statements. Don't just be shouting, peace, Lord. Say, do more specific things. If you want peace to reign, that means you want the influence of God on earth. How can that happen? A world of sons, a world of men filled with the Spirit, a world of men under right teaching. That is the only way you can get God's influence to win on it. Not by crying peace. Not by crying peace. So you want the bloodshed to stop? Give God a word of songs. Is there any other way? The word of songs we were talking about, that every person, for example, if you are saved, you saved learning the word, will you carry a gun and shoot another person? You saved learning the word. If everybody was saved, that God's spirit is in them, and they are learning the word, would they carry guns? No. So it is that, because we just said that God cannot walk through every man on this. It's not every man on the street that listens to God. It's not every man, and God will not bend. God doesn't bend people's choice and say, "Hey, Peter, do as I want, or you turn your head this way, or you stand up, or you follow me, or you run, or you move. Come and sit down. No. Come back, sit down." People think that's how God operates. That it's just boom, boom. You don't have it. You just stand up and say, "Oh yeah, let us be going." Never happens like that. You yourself tell yourself, how many times have you received promptings and you ignored? Did God come and kill you? Even today, I'm sure some of you have ignored promptings. You know. So God cannot, you cannot automatically say God should not control Buhari that is not even listening to Nigeria. Will he not listen to God?
I said I was, glory to God. Praise God.
He's not listening to the men he can see. Is it the God that he cannot see?
Oh God, let me focus on that. He really belongs to nobody. He has proved it. Hey, Metro, we are. I'm teaching breaking the Bible. Pastor, my money has
it. Amen. So, God does not have that kind of power. He doesn't. If you want to give God power on earth, if you want to say, God, have your way, if you want to see the influence of God, if you want to see righteousness rolling down like a stream, it is from a world of sons. So what should we, exactly? So we should now be much more aggressive in saying that a world of sons is not impossible. Because that is the only way we can stamp God's authority and rulership on earth. Rather than saying God can't do anything, God has power. If God could actually do anything he wanted, what do you think would have been what he should have done? All men saved. But the scripture says clearly, let's see 1 Peter 1. 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. Verse 8 and 9. Is our last scripture, then we'll close here. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that willing there talks about a deliberate action. God's deliberate action is that no one should perish. What he has set his mind to do is that no one should perish, but rather that all men should come to repentance. And you will see the same thing in 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, telling you that God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, showing you fully that God's intention and will for man is what? Salvation. So if God cannot with his power make this his will happen, what are you now talking about? So God's stance is never for a man to perish. That is why you cannot say that selection, he has some persons to be saved. Because once you say he has certain persons that should be saved, then you are automatically saying he has certain persons that should be condemned. But the scripture tells us that his plan is for all men to be saved. All. That is his will. However, it is still not automatic. Men must make a choice. Men must carry the message. Men must make a choice. Men must be taught to honor the will of the Father. That is how we give God power. That is how he rules in the affairs of men. Men taking out the message. Men getting other men saved. Men being taught to honor God's will. Honor the will of the Father. That is how we can have the rule of God. That will see the power of God at work. That will see the power of God at work. Let's just stand up on our feet and pray. Just pray for 5 minutes. We are praying that the world of sons is not impossible. The world of sons is not impossible. No matter how the darkness comes out, is how we must keep reminding ourselves that, hey, it's not impossible. A world of sons is not impossible. The grace of God that gives salvation has appeared to all men in what Christ has done. This is the only thing that guarantees men life. The only guarantee men have of life eternal. If you want the rule of God, if you want the influence of God, you can't do it outside the gospel. You can't do it outside the gospel. That men exercise their choice in this gospel. Imagine if this was how Christians stood up and said, hey, be safe, and they aggressively took the message. We would have had a much more better impact. We never fail with the gospel. If it was the gospel that a lot of persons rose up like this for, the result would have been life. Only the gospel is a guarantee. Nothing else. It's not impossible. I play my part. Remind yourself again of the duties that you have. Oh, it's not impossible. The world of sons is not impossible. We don't lose sight of God's true solution. No. This is God's solution. A world of songs. Let his bone to Kashke Baratigovosa Pakati. Renama Suverati in Amasha. Arepakakuso from the Sigele Badita. Egesegagarapa. Elegesakatata Barabagabagabagabagadana. Aretegesa. Ekateno Sakabala to Kobarapis. Mrata Bagasapani. Rakatadido. Romaga Satana Magabagabagabagabaga. Raman Suvei. Batuska Bagabasine. It is not impossible. Oh, it's not impossible. Brother, sinner, and batile bon go shut up. Our eyes are open to embrace God's solution. We are no wiser. Man, let us give a rant of all such a bagatati. Look at the barracks, go over the Fasa samatu le baga tu vera geti baga baga ti. Retu sapati. Rete gato sapaka ti le bera baga ta ta. Lege gato vera geti baga 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 dala baga 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 dala vati baga des. Ah, sato wa baga 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 ti na wau se le matia. Ega se ti na mando. Raga ta 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 barida baga 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 dala vati des. Lira man soti. Basa ga baga 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 bati. Ah, we'll see it happen. Ekatusa. These eyes will not just witness bloodshed. No. We will see righteousness fill the nations. We'll see righteousness flood the earth. Little man's kivereti baka baka tell about us. We'll see men raise up their hands for the gospel.
We'll see men accept Christ. We'll see men choose to live for him. Oh, we will see the increase of his government. We will see his peace indeed in the hearts of men. We'll see it happen. We'll see it happen. We'll see it happen. Oh, have what we say. God has spoken as well. You take it further from one to one to one. We see it happen, for it's not impossible. The desire of God,
the desire of God to indwell man
and to fill the earth with his glory.
Oh,
it's not impossible.
It's not impossible.
To have a world of sons. A world of men filled with his spirit. It's not impossible. The desire of God to indwell men. Ensure you understand it. And to fill the earth with his glory. Oh,
it's not impossible.
To have a world of sons. No, it's not.
To have a world of sons.
A world of men filled with his spirit.
It's not impossible.
For God has spoken his will.
And shown us the way.
We embrace it as ours. And we have what we say. For it's not impossible. From one to another.
We light up each other. I pay my part, and you take it further.
From one to one.
We see it happen.
For it's not impossible.
From one to another, we light up each other.
I play my part. You take it further. From one to one. That is how it goes. We see it happen. For it's not impossible. Our eyes must see something beyond bloodshed.
we will see something of God beyond disasters. No. It's God's will we want to see. It's God's will we want to see. We want to see God's will happen. We will see it happen. The influence of God upon the earth. I will show men, yes, there is a good God. But this is how we can show them. Through a word of songs. Of songs. As it is. Have power over. So we have power over. The gospel, is that what we have power over? These are our own tools. Gospel and prayers, these are our tools. We don't spend our time fighting a war that God did not send us. We have His own. We have His own. We have His battle to fight. That's the word of songs. That's God's battle. That's God's battle, brethren. God's battleground is in the minds of men. That's God's battle. My pastor told you, focus on what you should focus on. It's not because we are being insensitive, but hey, there is a domain of God. God has just one way to influence the world. Once we abandon that, we have lost on both ends. We have lost on both ends. God has just one way to influence the world. Through the gospel. If we want the influence of God, we will do His will His way. We focus on His tools. We have close brethren. Just ensure your heart is on this. A world of songs is God's only solution. It's God's only solution.